Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
They're gonna kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS podcast for week 12 of the NFL season. It's a wide receiver Wednesday, and I am your host, James Seltzer, and my usual co-host, Mr. Paul Bruno, is off gallivanting around the world having a great time, while me and this man, the man who's here to help out and bring you the knowledge, and we are very lucky that he stepped in for globetrotting Paul. Mr. Johnny McKechnie, you can follow him on Twitter, at Johnny McKex, that's McKechs. Definitely follow him, he's a great follow. Johnny, what up, brother?
Dude, what's going on? Are you getting pumped for Thanksgiving?
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, this is the first Thanksgiving I haven't had to work in 5 years. So,
Nice.
I am pumped, man. You?
So you're just gonna be chilling all morning, getting ready for the football then?
It's amazing. Yes, that is exactly. Literally, I work in radio, so, you know, when you're working your way up, you got to grind. And this will literally be the first Thanksgiving off in 5 years, so... Yeah, man, I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna eat all day. I'm gonna drink. I'm gonna watch football. I'm gonna do what the holiday is all about. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's how it's done.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, John, let's jump in because in addition, people can actually win some money, and there's some Thursday football action to get to. So let's take a look at those Thursday games, and then we can kind of jump in and look at the rest of the slate. From a more macro perspective with the rest of the games. But we started off on Thursday, again, Thanksgiving. First game in Detroit as Minnesota in town. A few decent receiving options in this game. Obviously, Stephon Diggs at the top of the list. How do you look at this game, and are there any of the receivers that jump out at the prices?
I think if you're going for a Thursday-only contest, you do kind of, like it or not, you have to look at these sort of lower-priced options that are going on Thursday, because you know you got guys like Zeke or Le'Veon Bell that are going to be eating so much of your salary, so you got to kind of finagle a way to get these mid-tier guys. So Diggs, he's dealing with a bit of a knee right now. He's the highest priced receiver in this game at 6600, but he didn't practice this week, that you know, and it's a short week, so he's a little bit iffy coming into this one. And FanDuel kind of accordingly bumped up Adam Thielen to 6,200, so he's not quite the steal that, you know, I was hoping to get him at, but I still like him a lot in this game at 6,200. How do you see the Minnesota receivers? I mean, especially if Diggs is to sit out.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great point. I think Thielen clearly the guy if Diggs is to sit out, because he's clearly got a nice little thing going with Bradford. And not just that, I mean, you watch the kid play, he makes some really impressive catches, you know,
he
like
does.
There's talent there. I agree with you. I was really hoping him, for him to be under that $6,000 mark, and I expected him to be, but with Diggs a little banged up, it does make some sense. Even still, assuming Diggs is playing, which I think he will, I would still be fine rolling with Diggs too. The price is not so exorbitant that... you know, if he is healthy enough to play and it's more of just a, you know, putting him on the injury report type of thing, then
sure.
While I still like Thielen, I think Diggs against, Cadre Diggs, no pun intended or no connection intended, has the chance to really light it up in terms of both volume and production. So I'm actually kind of in on both of those Minnesota receivers to a certain extent, depending on what happens. Let's flip it over to Detroit. Marvin Jones obviously has been a disaster of late for his owners. Are you willing to buy in kind of a tough matchup here, or Golden Tate a little bit lower? Are there any of those guys you're kind of interested in against a tough mini D?
Yeah, generally for DFS purposes, I tend to avoid the Detroit receivers because it feels like a little bit of a whack-a-mole type of situation.
Yes,
where
you don't know
which one is gonna produce on the given week. And also guys like Riddick or Ebron, they're coming on strong in the passing game as well. So that cuts into the Jones and the Tate production a little bit. And I also think for as bad as Minnesota's been of late, they still have that secondary with Newman and Rhodes. That's still, a couple of shutdown guys on the outside. So I don't like this matchup as far as the receivers are concerned in general. And then in the team context, when you're factoring in Detroit, they're going to be throwing it, but it's really so hard to just make one lineup and feel good about it using one of these guys, because it could just so easily, the shoe could be on the other foot that day and Marvin Jones finally wakes back up, but you're stuck with Golden Tate having no catches.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm terrified of starting any of these guys. It really does. Whack-a-mole is a perfect way to describe it, because one week it'll be Tate, one week it'll be Jones, so one week it'll be Bolden. So in that vein, I don't think I'm starting any of them. Maybe if I'm doing a Thursday-only tournament, I'll take a shot on Bolden at 4,800 just because, like you said, if you want to fit the Zekes and the Bells and those types of guys in your lineup, you're going to have some values in there. And Bolden at 4,800, at least there's some upside. But I agree. Right. Going up against a tough mini D, I don't think I want anything to do with any of these guys. Let's move on to the 4:30 start as a really good game here, the best game of the day, especially with luck out. Dallas hosting Washington. Some good options. I would say if you had to look at the games as a whole, probably the deepest group of options here, maybe not the best high-end guys, but who kind of stands out among this group? Why don't we start with the Dallas side?
Okay, well, we've got Dez Bryant, most expensive receiver from this game, checking in at 8,000. Then you go down a few tiers, you get a guy like Cole Beasley at 6,400, and then Terrence Williams down to 4,900. So a lot of variance between those three. I think I think that's a pretty accurate reflection of how they're viewed. And they're going against a Washington secondary that, obviously is starting to play a little bit better, coming off a really nice win against the Packers on Sunday night. Kind of flustered Aaron Rodgers a little bit, but I think the Packers are sort of just flustering themselves at this point. So I don't know how much credit to accurately give the Redskins on that one. But in any case, you got to consider Dez here. I think he is dealing with a bit of a sore back, but it didn't really seem to bother him when he was just mossing the Ravens the other day. And Beasley's always just a guy that in any sort of format where you get points per reception or even a half point PPR, Beasley's a guy who just gets the target volume. It's so clear that Dak Prescott really trusts, getting him the ball in the intermediate routes to kind of keep the chains moving. Williams is kind of an interesting GPP option, in my opinion, especially if Dez ends up being a little bit limited given the short week here. I think he presents, a more similar game to Dez Bryant. So than he would to Beasley's similar role is what I'm trying to say. So I think Williams might be an interesting kind of dart, but outside of that, I'd probably go with Beasley out of this group if I'm going to play a Cowboys receiver.
Yeah, I agree. And I like Dez to an extent too. I'll probably have a couple lineups with Dez in it, but Beasley to me, when you look at the values, the pricing and the more or less guaranteed volume, I think Beasley's a home run here at 6,400. He's going to get, production. He's had at least six catches. I think he had four catches four games ago, at least six catches last six. He's just a part of that offense, a big part of that offense, and he's going to continue to get looks, and obviously has a great rapport with Prescott. As you said, not the same receiver as Dez, but for $1,600 cheaper, really a better value. But again, I like both. What about on the Washington side of the ball? Some interesting options there as well.
Well, we got they're a little bit whack-a-mole-ish too, but I think that they're, as a generality, they're a little bit more reliable these days. So you got Jameson Crowder checking in at 6,300. DeSean Jackson still probably not at 100% from his shoulder at 5,900. And then Garcon checking in at 5,600. The Dallas secondary is good, but it is a little bit banged up in its own right with Morris Claiborne. I'm not sure if he's still out or not. So that's one less guy that you'd have to worry about. In this case, you worry a little bit just about which one of these three guys is going to get the most targets. Lately, it seems like Garcon has been a little bit of the guy, and I was in on him last week because quietly he was checking in at a pretty low or at a noticeably lower price than Crowder, but he actually had more targets. And then, you know, he kind of rewarded me with that 70-yard touchdown that sort of really propelled the Cousins Garcon stack there. So that worked out well. So I might go back to the Garcon well, or I definitely wouldn't mind using Jameson Crowder as well. Probably not using DeSean Jackson, though. I just am not sold on how healthy he is at this point.
I have the exact same take here. I actually really like Garcon and Crowder at their prices. I think, like you mentioned, Garcon at 5,600. You know, he's not going to get a 75-yard touchdown most weeks, but just right. In terms of volume and consistency, that's a really fair price for him. So I totally agree there. Let's move on to the night game, the last of the Thanksgiving slate here, as we've got Pittsburgh heading into Indy, and it looks like Andrew Luck is absolutely going to be out of this game with a concussion. So why don't we just real quick just take the Colts? I'm not taking a shot on any of these Colts at their prices, which haven't reflected that Luck's going to be out. Are you willing to take that risk?
I mean, if I was a guy that could make like 100 lineups for
yeah,
Thursday,
exactly, then, right? Yeah, I can't maybe, afford that.
but not quite going that way so far right now. So I just don't think that any of those guys can hit close to their value. I mean, Hilton, I would be fine taking a shot on him, but he's at 8,100. Like that's only 700 less than Antonio Brown. Like that is such a large chunk of your salary. And you just know that even if he gets a nice target volume, they're just going to be bad targets. I mean, coming from a guy like Scott Tolzien that I'm sure he has little to no rapport with, and, you know, a guy that's going to be struggling throughout the game, and Pittsburgh's going to be bringing the pressure on him against that offensive line that reliably always gets the quarterback hit plenty of times throughout the game. So, any of these Indianapolis receivers, it's hard to justify owning them unless, like I said, you're rolling out 100, 150 lineups.
Totally agree, and I am nowhere near there. But it's just not worth the risk to me, and especially with Luck being that one quarterback who makes up for so many deficiencies on his team's offense, especially that O-line. I just don't see Tolzien having the same success. Let's flip it to the other side of the ball. You mentioned Antonio Brown at 8,800. Are you taking that risk? Which is a pretty fair price when you look at it for Brown, especially on a short slate here. And also obviously Eli Rogers and Sammy Coates potential values as well. How do you lean on these guys?
I'm probably honestly gonna try to go the Le'Veon Bell route as far as like the high price guys I'm going with. And I totally understand where Brown could be, a guy that puts up huge numbers, and he's certainly capable of doing that. You know, the Steelers could have two drives in a row where Brown catches two touchdowns, and like, there you go, that he's done exactly what you need him to. But I think that this is a game flow situation that I'm concerned about Pittsburgh kind of taking the air out of the ball in the second half if they build the kind of lead that I would expect them to against Tolzien. So I'm worried about Brown's usage in the second half. Maybe he does enough in the first half to warrant that price tag. But in general, I'm probably just gonna be targeting Le'Veon from the Steelers in general.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a shot on Brown in some lineups, but I agree, for me, Bell the better play, especially in that type of game with Tolzien on the other side. I could see Pittsburgh taking a big lead and just grinding away. But I do really like Eli Rogers at 5,400, okay, just because I think the matchup suits up really nicely for him. The Colts are terrible in the slot. And even more so, it just appears that the type of offense the Steelers are going to run against the Colts, at least from everything I've read this week, does favor what Eli Rogers does well, kind of quick hits, quick moving type of offense. So
okay.
I like Rogers mostly because of the volume at that price on a short slate. But I agree, none of those guys are top tier plays for me. All right, Johnny, before we move on to the rest of the wide receiver slate, let me remind all the fantasy football fans out there that football is in full swing, and that means that FanDuel's in full swing, and this year it has been better than ever. It's not just a new season at FanDuel, it's a new era. They've upgraded your entire experience with real improvements for everyday fans, and they believe you deserve to experience everything sports has to offer, which makes you sports rich. Try the new FanDuel now. You just pick your team, you stay under the salary cap, and have all the fun that fantasy has to offer. New to the game? Play in a beginner's contest, learn the ropes. If you have a dollar, there are games for just a dollar. There's 50-50 contests where the top half win cash. Or you can even settle a score with a friend in FanDuel's brand new Friends Mode. It's season-long fantasy football with weekly teams. Plus, new features ensure a fair and level playing field. I've said it all season. Season-long fantasy is, it just doesn't do it for me. I've got all these injured players, and I keep, you know, losing because of guys I picked in August and guys who just haven't performed or this or that. If you own Eddie Lacy, if you own, you know, all these guys, it's just
yes,
a bummer.
This year,
FanDuel,
it's been...
you don't have to worry about any of that. You get to pick a new lineup every single week. It is the best. You can have all the fun that football has to offer, all the fun that fantasy football has to offer. At FanDuel, you can be sports rich. Plus, special offer for new users. Get a free six-month RotoWire subscription with a $10 deposit on FanDuel. You can go to FanDuel.com/RW. Not only do you get the free subscription, but you actually get to play with that $10 on FanDuel. It's insane. It's such a good value. It's over $40 in value for just $10. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. All right, Johnny, let's jump in, hit the rest of this wide receiver slate. Let's just go by values here, as it'd be too long to go game by game here. Let's take that top list here, as we just have four guys, really only three when you look at it, because A.J. Green not playing.
Right.
Of the 8,000 and above, Nelson 8,000, then you jump up to Julio at 87 and Beckham at 9,000. Any of those three guys going to be in your lineup this week?
I think Beckham will for sure in pretty much any sort of cash format that I'm going in. I mean, you got to be kidding me. It's Odell Beckham against the Browns.
Yes.
Like there's never a matchup that I don't like when the Browns are involved. So obviously he is the most elite option out there this week, in my opinion. I think he's just going to absolutely tear it up against the Browns. Julio Jones, I could see like maybe his ownership dropping down a little bit this week. People are worried going against Patrick Peterson. Maybe that's a concern for some people. Maybe that knocks down his ownership a little bit. But I mean, Julio's a guy that's completely matchup proof. You got to imagine he's going to be totally fresh as well this week, coming off the bye. And you always kind of worry about that with Julio this time of year, just because he gets so beat up over the course of the season. So I think we're going to see a Julio at full strength here. So I think he might be a sneaky play. I mean, it's not really a sneaky play, but, you know, something that we see it, the matchup scare some people off, scare down the ownership percentage to where Julio really provides a profit for his owners.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting call and under the radar call. I love the OBJ call 100%. He is going to be in my lineups. Let's jump down to the 7,000 ranges. We have about a dozen names here from 7,000 up to 7,900. Jarvis Landry at the bottom going up to Mike Evans at 7,900. Who are a couple names in this range that leap out to you?
Just taking a look at it, I always love using Mike Evans, and I feel like he's approaching that elite sort of matchup proof type status. But Seattle obviously is one of those teams that can definitely put that notion to the test. Luckily, it's at home, so it's not in Seattle. So that, I mean, I don't think Jameis will be as rattled as he would be playing out there. So that is working in his advantage to an extent. But I'm probably gonna not have a ton of ownership of Mike Evans this week in my lineup. I do like Amari Cooper checking in at 7,800. That is a little bit pricey for a guy that can definitely lose out the touchdown production to a guy like Michael Crabtree. But at the same time, I don't think that Carolina's defense should be scaring anyone as far as their secondary is concerned. I think they're around 19th in the NFL as far as their pass defense DVOA is concerned. So that's definitely not something that, you know, scares you off of using a guy like Amari Cooper this week. From the rest of this tier, though, I don't really like Brandon Marshall going against New England. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, he's so hamstrung by the quarterback play. He checks in at 7,000. It just feels like such a good price for him. But you're just so – and going against San Diego is always a good thing. But geez, I mean, the Osweiler is so bad that it's really hard to justify using a guy like Hopkins for daily fantasy purposes. I do like Landry a lot at 7,000, though, at the bottom of this tier. Just sort of the target volume, he seems to be been a little bit more explosive of late when he does get the ball. So I like the trajectory that he's heading in. And, you know, it's a home game going against the 49ers. 49ers, you know, coming all the way across the country for that one. I think Landry definitely goes off. I'm definitely considering using him in a bunch of places.
Yeah, I love the Landry call. The top guy and the bottom guy, I love both. Mike Evans, I think, is just a must play pretty much every week. And Seattle, like you mentioned, you know, it's not the same type of imposing pass defense it used to be. So I really like the Mike Evans call just based on volume. Another name in addition to the ones you mentioned that jumped out to me is Larry Fitzgerald at 7,200. That Atlanta secondary has not been very good. Desmond Trufant should be back, but has been nicked up. I don't think he's going to follow Fitzgerald around anyway. Fitzgerald had 7 targets last week, but 18 the week before, 11 the week before, 14, 9, 8. I mean, he is the guy in Arizona in that passing game. And I think they're going to pass a fair amount. I know David Johnson is the core of that offense, but at 7,200, Fitzgerald seems like a really nice, you know, play with a high floor here for me and a pretty low ceiling as well. And agree, Hopkins was the other name that kind of leapt out to me just based on the you know, the name and the matchup. But I don't know if I would have the chutzpah to start him at all at any point. But it is a good matchup. He did have a touchdown called back last week. So
right.
Potentially there. I think at 7,000, maybe you take a shot in a couple tournaments. All right, let's take from 6,500 up to 6,900 here. From Terrell Pryor down to Tyrell Williams, about 7-8 names in here. Who among these guys is intriguing to you, John?
I'm in on Doug Baldwin at this price range. I think anytime you can get a guy like Doug Baldwin that has the sort of touchdown upside in like such a good offense with Russell Wilson rolling, it's hard for me to avoid using Doug Baldwin here. Checking in 6,800. I mean, he's got 3 straight games of double-digit production by FanDuel's count. Even if the target volume isn't quite what you'd want for a wide receiver one, but in your lineup at 6,800, you know, he's probably like your wide receiver two. I think he makes for a very solid option in that regard. So I definitely like him or his chances. I mean, he was able to burn your Eagles a little bit last week. Four receptions for 104 yards. That's kind of hard to do against the Eagles secondary. So definitely like the trend with him, and I like this matchup too. Tampa Bay doesn't scare me as far as their secondary is concerned. Maybe I'm a little bit biased here, but I don't really like Mike Wallace a ton going against Cincinnati. I think that Joe Flacco he's just been off this entire season, so it's hard for me to justify using any of the Ravens receivers in a daily format. Pryor, going against the Giants. The Giants actually have a very improved secondary, in my opinion, or improved defense overall compared to last year. So I'm a little bit worried about that, but you do have to figure that the Browns are going to fall behind. They're going to be throwing it a decent bit. So Pryor should benefit from that to an extent, but I don't think it's quite – like I would pay $100 more to go get Jarvis Landry going against the 49ers and, you know, instead of using Pryor in this case. Michael Crabtree, 6,700. You know, along the same lines as Cooper, we know the Crabtree can absolutely go off, and the Panthers, not the lockdown secondary that they were a year ago. So I would be relatively comfortable using a guy like Crabtree at 6,700.
Yeah, I love the Crabtree play. That was one of the names I would mention for the exact reasons you mentioned Cooper. I mean, that Carolina secondary is so bad. But you brought up the main name in this range for me, and I saw it firsthand, like you said, Doug Baldwin. You know, Russell Wilson's fully healthy. He looks awesome. And when he's awesome, Doug Baldwin is usually pretty awesome. And they just have a really, you know, nice connection. You can see it when you watch them play. A lot of times if Wilson just sees a protection a certain way, he'll just send Baldwin on a go route and it works, you know. So
exactly.
And Baldwin had a passing touchdown last week too, but I'm not going to count on that. But I love the match. Terrific matchup. I think Baldwin and Wilson are really finding their groove right now. So I love one of my favorite plays on the board, actually. All right, let's round out the 6,000 and above range here. 6,000 up to 6,400. Willie Snead at the top, down to Ty Hill, getting quite the bump now after a couple weeks of action. Are you interested in any of these guys here?
I do like Tyreek Hill in general. I've tried to pick him up pretty much everywhere in my season longs, but the Denver secondary is not to be trifled with, in my opinion. It's going to be a road game Sunday night. I don't see a situation where either Hill, I mean, even if Macklin gets ruled out, maybe I start considering him a little bit more, but I'd probably lean more on like the Travis Kelce angle if I'm going after Chiefs, going against the Broncos. But in general, I try to avoid going against the Broncos when it comes to my pass catchers. I really like Edelman this week. He's coming off a pretty strong showing against the 49ers, and he gets to go against the Jets. And, you know, the Jets just aren't what they used to be. Darrelle Revis obviously isn't. Edelman saw 17 targets last week. I almost just fell out of my chair seeing that. So if we see, you know, anything even close to that, I think we at least know that he's going to see close to double digit targets. And obviously they're quality ones coming from Tom Brady. So going against that Jets secondary that's really kind of lacking at the moment, I really like Edelman probably the most from this tier. Also like the way Michael Thomas has been playing, but I wish he was closer to 6,000 rather than just 6,400.
Yeah, I actually like this whole tier for the most part. Edelman is a terrific play. Totally agree. I mean, he's, especially with Gronk likely out again. Thomas, I like that play. Steve Smith against Cincinnati. I mean, Steve Smith is you know, 99 a touch last week, and he just he looks good doing it. I mean, made one of the best catches of the season on the sideline there. I think, you know, he's a big part of that offense. Cincinnati's not been good defensively, so at 6,300, a nice price. Rishard Matthews against a banged-up Chicago defense, a solid play. Sterling Shepard, start everybody against Cleveland. You know, so I think there's a nice group here, and I could see myself having multiple of these guys in my lineup at one point or another. All right, let's tackle 5,900 down to 5,500, and then we'll go down to the bottom here. So let's take Travis Benjamin on up to Cameron Meredith. Are any of these names interesting to you as we start to get into real value action here?
Right. So I'm a little bit worried about Benjamin. Just that knee seems to have been a problem for a little while now. So I'm probably off of him, even if I don't, if that matchup doesn't terrify me per se. But I do like Tajae Sharpe at 5,500. Kind of similar reason to Matthews. You're just getting him at a cheaper price. I mean, you love going against the Bears these days. I think that's definitely something to target. I guess Tyler Boyd it might be the most interesting of this group. Yeah. We don't really know what the Bengals offense is going to look like with, like, sans A.J. Green and sans Gio Bernard. But, you know, that means that a lot of targets are about to get redistributed. And Brandon LaFell, he is who he is, and we're not sure what Tyler Boyd is at this level yet. So I think he's worth at least a flyer. And if Jimmy Smith is out for the Ravens, that secondary goes from passable to just really not good at all across the board. So Boyd could be having a really favorable matchup this week. So I think he's probably my favorite of this tier from 5,900 to 5,500.
Yeah, I think he has the highest ceiling in this tier just because we really don't know. He could be the go-to guy there. I think that Jordan Matthews probably has the lowest floor going up against an atrocious Packers secondary. Obviously, the Eagles wide receiver group is old. You don't have to tell me about it. maybe the worst group in the league of wide receivers. I'm not even kidding. It's up there. But Jordan Matthews has been the one guy you can somewhat count on. And I think this is the week you can count on him going up against it. Again, just one of the worst pass defenses in football. It's Kirk Cousins just shred him, Mariota shred him. I mean, they're really bad. So I think Matthews, based on volume and upside for the price, is actually a pretty great play there. All right, Johnny, let's round it out here. Let's go from 5,400 down to min price at 45. Who are the true value plays that you see this week at wide receiver?
I mean, from this group, that, you know, obviously these are all darts that you'll be throwing.
Yes. No one's going to hold your feet to the fire if you miss on your $4,900 guy or anything.
Right. So Perriman last week, he played only 23 snaps for the Ravens and didn't see a single target. So I'm completely off of him for as far as this week is concerned, even if I do like the matchup going against the Bengals. I think LaFell, kind of with the same exact rationale as using a Tyler Boyd, I don't think I'd use them together in a lineup, but you know, I think I'll have some exposure to both of them just in case. And then I always like Tyler Lockett. He's always kind of one of my favorite cheaper plays, and I think he seems to like be seeing a slight increase in usage just a little bit. Well, I only saw 3 targets last week, but when he does see 5+ targets, he can really convert that. He's got a good catch rate. He's a guy that can go off without a ton of volume. Let's see here. After that, it gets a little bit dicey.
Here, I'll throw a couple at you. I got 3, sure. And again, like you said, they're all darts. But for 5,100, Brandon LaFell, for the exact same reasons we like Tyler Boyd, because he could be the guy. We don't know. And obviously has produced in the past. So I like that as an upside play. Again, as you mentioned, none of these are real home run type plays here. So don't get too excited. But there's some potential there with that. For the same reasons I mentioned Jordan Matthews, Dorial Green Beckham, I think, has some potential. Was very involved last week, and Nelson Agholor might not even play. He might be sat down because of all the issues he's been having. They're going to, quote-unquote, take a step back, is what Doug Peterson said with Nelson. Yeah, so I think there's an opportunity for Beckham here again against an awful secondary. At 4,600, if he scores a touchdown, you know, you're already in the red or black? What's good? In the black, right?
Yeah, in the black.
In the black. Okay. And then last one, again, a true home run, just for 4,700, Robbie Anderson, not just because he went to my alma mater, go Owls, but more so because 6 targets 3 weeks in a row. Brandon Marshall, Anunua has been just bad. So it seems like Anderson has passed him on that list, at least as the outside receiver. So just a potential upside play with some volume potential there. But again, like we said, all upside shots.
Sure. No, I think that Robbie Anderson call is very interesting when you bring up that sort of target volume that's been consistent and, you know, something that you definitely like from a player that's basically at minimum price there. And his yardage outputs have gotten better each of those 3 weeks. So this week going against the Patriots matchup, you know, at this point, at this like end of the table, as far as our salary is concerned, that's not necessarily the main thing that you're concerned about. I think, you know, you're mostly looking at, does this guy have a role that can help me? And in this case, it does look like Anderson is sort of building towards a really, really solid rapport with the Jets quarterbacks.
Yeah, and especially with them likely being behind and needing to throw. So,
yeah,
you like it. There's upside there. So, again, Johnny, any final thoughts, sir?
That's about it. I'm looking forward to this week. I think the Thursday games, especially the Redskins-Cowboys one, is one that I'm circling that should be really interesting. I mean, that might even be a playoff game preview, honestly, if things keep going the way that they are. I think Cowboys...
Shoot me now.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, I swear.
No, dude, it's fair. The NFC East is a tough division right now, though the Giants are terrible. I don't care what anyone says. They're the worst 7-3 team I've ever seen. I'll admit that Dallas and Washington are both good football teams. The Giants are not.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, the Giants have gotten better in areas where they were laughable before, especially that defense last year. I think we can all still remember that Saints-Giants game where like a zillion points were scored. So they're slightly more respectable now, but I don't think they can run the ball at all. And I just don't really like Eli Manning just doesn't do it for me. So I'm in agreement with you that they're probably the fourth best team in that division.
He is Johnny McKechnie. Follow him on Twitter at Johnny McKex. I am James Seltzer. We will be back, me and Johnny, back with you tomorrow, Thanksgiving edition of Tight Ends and Defenses. But for the wide receiver edition, again, for Johnny McKechnie, I am James Seltzer. This has been the RotoWire DFS podcast for week 12, wide receiver edition of the RotoWire DFS podcast.